Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
From the top of Revelation chapter 4, after these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. See, I'm tell you something. I think, now John is experiencing all of these, but I think these are things that are speaking of eternal truths. You know, Jesus said, I am the door. So that John sees the door open in heaven, you know, please hear my heart. There's a door open in heaven. There's a door open to the heavens that was formerly shut, and you have the opportunity to look into that door and experience the things of those heavens. That's like the point of Jesus. He's the door to the heavens. And so when he said, behold, I look, and he saw a door open in the heavens, that's a universal word. Listen, God wants your company. God wants your company. God wants your company. God wants your conscious connection with him. He wants your groping for him. He wants you to experience his heaven. A door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. You know, the Bible says there are apostles. In Ephesians chapter 4, there are apostles, there are prophets, there are evangelists, there are pastors, there are teachers. So this voice that's calling, saying, come up here, I want to show you things that must take place after that, that's the spirit of prophecy. That's a prophetic spirit. Again, that's being offered to every one of the children of God. There's a scripture that says, ask me of things to come. It's like commands me, you, or something like that. God is saying, I want you to anticipate a spirit of prophecy. I want you to anticipate growing in wisdom, supernatural wisdom, so that you can anticipate things that are coming down in the future. That's something that's unique to the children of God. It's not simply your wits. It's not simply your carnal, your knowledge of the word, that you're a good reader of people or this or that. There's a supernatural aspect of God revealing things that must shortly take place. Why? So you can be prepared. So you can be prepared. So your heart can be prepared. So that you're not caught off guard. The Bible says there are times and there are seasons. And you know, we want things to be steady as they go. We really try to create stability in life. We want there to be this ever-stable life that somehow we picture as growing older and whatever, and we call that a good life. Retiring, and we call that a good life. But yet God, if you're in the God business, promises times and seasons. There are going to be seasons of great work, but there should also be seasons of rest. There are going to be seasons of trial and difficulty and heartache, but not every season is going to be that way. We do everything to medicate ourselves from the pain of difficult seasons and frequently don't get out of those seasons what God would have us get out of those seasons. Because I would offer to you that you learn more in difficult times than in good times. I don't think good times teach you all that much. But I think difficult times are teaching moments, seasons, yeah? So, listen, this is the great desire of the God who created the heavens and the earth, that he would have your company. This is the great desire. This is what Jesus came for. Not just so you can go to heaven, but that he can have your company here on earth. That you can come up, says, door standing open in the heaven. The first voice I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me. Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. God wants to reveal to his people the things that must take place, that we can be prepared for the seasons, that we can be on top of things. Really important. Immediately, I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And so the voice was like a trumpet, and I think that that's a herald saying, come up here. You're being heralded to come up here. Pass through this door. Come up here, because I want to show you things which must shortly take place. It was a trumpet saying, God is saying, come on. Don't settle for a Christianity that's an ideology. The Bible says at the end times there'd be a people who would have a form of godliness, but deny the power. What's the power? It's the prophetic. It's the dimension of God's Holy Spirit that God is saying, I want you to have something more. You don't have to be, you know, up here on the holy perfection purity scale. You can be where you are. As a matter of fact, that's how God gets you up here, by showing you things down here where you are and saying, wow, he really does love me. He really does want to show me things to come. He really will speak to me and to go and pray for that person, and I'll pray for that person, and that person will receive something from God. And I see now that I'm a partner with God. God wants us to be his partners. He wants to do his work through us. Somebody who's got a sickness and they're walking down the street, all of a sudden they're better. What do they say? I'm better. Some Christian comes over and lays hands on him and says, Father, heal this dear person in Jesus' name, and they get better. God gets the glory. Right? Somebody's got to be willing to do that. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, one sat upon the throne. Bingo, Jesus. It's only about Jesus, it's only ever about Jesus. Immediately, I was in the spirit, went through that door, I was in the spirit, bingo, boom. There's one who sat upon the throne. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Your mama and papa don't love you like Jesus. The government doesn't love you like Jesus. You don't love yourself like Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you more than you love yourself. And he's got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He's got them. He's the one you want to make friends with. You ever get thrown in jail, you know? Not that I ever have gotten thrown in jail, thank goodness. But you know what you want to do is you want to make friends with the jailer. You want to make friends with the guy who has the keys. Because you don't know, it may come an opportunity one day. If he really likes you, maybe he'll let you out. Listen, you make friends with the one who's got the keys. You make friends with the one who's got the keys. You schmooze the one who's got the keys. That's what worship is all about. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. I love that. Thou makest me to lie down in green pastures. That's an emerald rainbow right out of Psalm 23 around the throne. because we're going to see these elders keep falling down on it. Thou makest me to lie down in green pastures, a rainbow like an emerald surrounding the throne. That's cool. And around the throne, there were 24 thrones. And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head. What's a throne? What does the throne represent? It's a position of authority. Each of you have a throne. Each of you represent a realm of authority. Each person represents a realm of authority. Whether it's just yourself that you have governance over your own decision, over your own body, you do have a throne. You do sit upon a throne. You make decisions. You make executive decisions over your own life. Maybe you have a company. Maybe you have a job. Maybe you have a position of authority. Whatever position of authority you have, that is your throne. You're seated upon your throne. You make the executive decisions about what happens in your own life. Nobody does it for you. You can't go before Jesus one day and say, well, I couldn't help myself. I say to someone who's a close friend, I said, you're not Vicky Victim. You're Vicky Victorious. We are all somehow victims in our culture. We are a victim culture. You are not a victim. You are victorious. You are a child of God. No matter your age, no matter your anything, you are a child of God. And you sit on a throne. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to have executive power, to know that you have executive power. Tomorrow does not have to be like today and all the days before it. Tomorrow you can remake you in any way you want. You have executive authority over your life. We all have thrones. What you do with that throne, what you do with that authority, what you do with that power, well, I mean, that remains to be seen. Right? Some folks will work to get a position of authority, but when they get the position of authority, they don't execute the position of authority to create more life, which is really what positions of authority are all about, the creation of life, the implementation of God's plans and ways. Does that make sense? Use your throne for good. Use your throne for righteousness. Use your throne to represent Jesus. It says, do all things as unto the Lord. Right? And verse 5, and from the throne proceeded lightning, thunders, and voices. I really think that that's an image of the Godhead, of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Of the conversation, of the dialogue that goes on between the agreement, the love, the care, the tenderness, the planning. I think they're talking about you. I think they're conferring about you. The Bible says that God has the very hairs on your head numbered. The very hairs on your head are numbered. He said a sparrow doesn't fall from the ground apart from his knowledge. The very hairs on your head are numbered. They're conferring about you. But how's this one going? How is this one going? We have to get out of the locust mentality. You're not locust. You're a Van Gogh. You're a Picasso. You're a Rembrandt. You're a masterpiece. There's no others like you. You are perfectly made, perfectly you. That's what you are. You are a masterpiece. Just because there's a lot of us, look at the heavens and the earth, the expanse of the universe. I mean, we kind of, you know, we've been, I think, scientized into this idea that somehow we're just a big old science experiment and we're nothing but smart lemmings. Or locusts or something, just consumers. No, you're made in the image and likeness of God. You're his offspring. You're his progeny. You have purpose. You're not made for nothing. You're made for his purposes. You are a royal generation, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, 1 Peter 2:9. that we could wake up to that. That doesn't make us lift ourselves above other people, but it makes us, allows us to see ourselves from God's perspective. Holy, beloved, child of God, secure, secure, ever secure. The 24 elders clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head. The white robes in another place are called the righteous acts of the saints. Again, the same theme. God has work for you to do. He has things for you to do. He has things for you to build. God is prolific. Read Genesis 1 sometime. Look at the prolific nature of God. How many different variety of things did he create in 1 week? In 6 days, created the heavens and the earth. He created myriad of plant life and animal life and terrestrial and celestial and everything wonderful in a week. His whole nature is prolific. And we typically serve a God that for some reason Christians get the idea that God wants us to live in this ongoing austerity, this ongoing poverty, that somehow God is more aggrandized the more impoverished we are. And yet Genesis shows us a God of abundance. Crazy, crazy bugs. I'm going to make bugs now. For the next hour, I'm going to make bugs. Crazy varieties of bugs of every kind, like a Dr. Seuss book of bugs all over the world. They're going to drive you crazy, but they're really fun. I'm going to make animals. I'm going to make pandas. I'm going to make koalas. And our science selves take all that glory away. And then we glorify the koala instead of glorifying the Rembrandt who made the koala. It doesn't make sense. Go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, we see the Hudson River School, we say, wow, Thomas Cole, wow, Frederick Church, wow, we know who made it. We see a Kodiak bear. Mother, nature's awesome. Nature is awesome. But how about Thomas Cole? How about the maker? How about the creator? How about giving glory where glory is due? They say the space is so big, there can't be a God. And we say, space is so big, there's got to be a God, because we're here. And I can think about him. And there's thunders, lightnings, and thunders, and voices. Man, that's a storm. Isn't that a storm? You know, when that's why I like Job. At the end of Job, I'm going to go over there for a second, because it's been on my mind. To mark my place. They whine for 37 chapters. Now, Job is doing really great. He's a very rich man. He's got a bunch of kids and everything. And the devil comes before God and says, and God says, he's bragging about Job. You consider my servant Job? Actually, what he's saying, have you taken my servant Job to task? Have you considered my servant Job? The devil says, I would, but you got this hedge built around him. Because Job is good. He's a good guy. You got this hedge built around. Take the hedge down and you'll see. We'll see. That guy's not going to stand for a minute for you. And God says, all right, go ahead. Just don't take his life. And the devil comes like a fury into his life. So does that mean you're doing something wrong when the devil comes like a fury into your life? You got to get that out of your head. When you have problems, when you have issues in life, that all of a sudden you've done something wrong. Oh, God. Because that's what Job and his friends do. His friends come around and say, God would never let that happen to you unless you sinned. Job said, I didn't sin. Job says, I'm righteous. I didn't sin. His friend said, every which way. I'm telling you, for 30-something chapters, Job defends himself and they tell him he must have sinned. 30-something chapters. They go on and on and on. And you know what? The sum total of all of our personal theologizing, which is gag stuff. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Now, remember what we just were reading about? The throne of God thunders and lightnings. There's six winged creatures that are circling the throne of God. What does that create? It's a whirlwind. It's the throne of God that's pictured here. It says God answered out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? You have no business in the world talking about God because you don't know what in the world you're talking about. Stop your pop theology because it doesn't mean anything. As a matter of fact, God says it gags me. Your little thoughts about what you think about God, they mean nothing. Your refrigerator magnets mean nothing. You're darkening counsel with words without knowledge. We go around talking about God like we're all some kind of theologians. God says, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now listen, we're all guilty of it. But I don't think God thinks it's all that funny. That's why we get this. So we don't have to darken counsel with words without knowledge. That's why we have the Word of God. So we don't darken counsel with words without knowledge. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus calls him the Spirit of Truth. So we don't darken counsel with words without knowledge. You ever hear a person say, God would never do that. God would never let that happen to you. We want to sympathize with somebody. No, that's God. No. Darken counsel with words without knowledge. And he says to Job, now prepare yourself like a man and I will question you and you shall answer me. Imagine. On the stand with Judge Wapner. And he says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? Now, God will spend about three chapters talking about himself as the creator of the heavens and earth. Where were you, hotshot? Where were you, wise guy? Where were you, Mr. Know-it-all? And there you go. Just picture of the lion jumping through the window in Wizard of Oz. And finally, when God gets done at 42, he starts in 37, he goes all the way to 42. He's talking about himself a little bit. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Did you hear that? I know that you can do everything. Jesus said this, say unto the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. If you don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say will be done, you can have whatever you say. Therefore, I say to you, when you pray, believe that you've received it and you will have it. I know that you can do everything. Job got a revelation. I know that you can do everything and no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. Now my eyes see you, therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's 30-some-odd chapters of Job saying, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm righteous, I'm righteous, I'm righteous. You don't understand. I can't wait to go before God because I'm going to tell him a thing or two. It's really what Job says. I'm going to tell him a thing or two. Now Job says, I've heard about you, but now I've seen you with my eyes. Remember what we just read in Revelation? Come up here. Come up here. there's a door open in heaven. Come up here. Why? That you may see him. Therefore, abhor yourself. That's what we call repentance, folks. Because we do walk around like we are all that and more. Because on some level we are. We're made in God's image. We're smart. We're competent. We're opinionated. We're thoughtful. So there's only a natural sense of us when we don't know where we connect that we think very highly of ourselves. But God says, if you come up here and you see me as compared to yourself, you abhor yourself. Not because you're bad, just because he's great.
Hello, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. If you've never had that experience with Jesus and have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, will you pray with me now? Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I repent from all my sin today, and I place my life in your hands. Jesus, I thank you for dying for my sins. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power now. Father, I thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, I would encourage you to get a Bible, find a church, and start a prayer life. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center. If this word has impacted you and has encouraged you and lifted you up today, would you consider giving online at cmcconline.org? Again, you can give online at cmcconline.org. And we know that God will bless you back, pressed down, shaken together, pouring over even more as you begin to sow into this ministry. You will reap more from our Lord Jesus Christ. So once again, I want to thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. For Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.